The Catholic Channel, Sirius XM 129 presents Pathways of Learning. Here's your host, Sister Marie Pappas.
Alan Smith is a husband, father, grandfather, a man of trade, and a business owner. He's a Catholic evangelist, radio host, writer, internet broadcaster, and retreat director. Founder and director of the Archbishop Fulton J. Sheen Mission Society of Canada, Al Smith has also served on the board of directors of the Archbishop Fulton John Sheen Foundation, which promotes the cause of Fulton J. Sheen's canonization process. Al Smith is the creator of the Bishop Sheen Today website, and you definitely want to visit that, featuring the life and works of Archbishop Fulton Sheen. Today, we're going to discuss the book, Archbishop Sheen's Book of Sacraments, a Fulton Sheen anthology compiled and edited by Alan Smith. Alan, welcome back to Pathways of Learning. You're clearly an admirer of Archbishop Fulton Sheen and are very much walking in his footsteps. You promote him and his work with a sense of mission that is equal to his. So I'm wondering why. Have this start.
Well, Sister Marie, I found Archbishop Sheen, I'd like to say, later in life. So many people found Archbishop Sheen in front of the television station, or it seemed like the stories I hear all the time are of young children and adults gathered around the television set watching Archbishop Sheen on television. That was not my case. For me, I came across Archbishop Fulton J. Sheen in the year 2009. And it was, like I say, a God incidence, in the sense that nothing is coincidental with God. But I was just dropping my daughter off to a small Catholic college with my good wife. And as I was settling her into the dorms, my wife was in the library. And there they gave away a number of free old tattered books. They were making room for the new editions. And she picked up a couple copies of Fulton Sheen's writings. And there was a book called Peace of Soul. And she started to read that book to me on the way home. It was a 5-hour drive from our house to the college. And it was the first line of that book that struck me. Fulton Sheen wrote, "Unless souls are saved, nothing is saved."
Wow.
And it was a very powerful language. I hadn't heard that in years. And who even wants to save souls anymore? Who wants to talk about the language that we have a soul? And so Fulton Sheen got my attention, and I thought, you know, he impressed me with his first book. Maybe I'll pick up a few more of his books. And I went on to the internet and started to search, and found out very quickly that he had 66 books that he penned, along with 20 years of radio transcripts and 10 or 15 years of television manuscripts. And so there was a lot to choose from there. And so I picked up a little book called Victory Over Vice, you know, kind of a Lenten project for me, because, you know, you love to meditate on the seven last words, but Fulton Sheen talked about the seven deadly sins. And if I have to be honest, you know, I do fall into a few of those seven deadly sins from time to time. But, you know, so I thought, no, this will be good. This will be good for my soul. And I tell you, when I read that book, Fulton Sheen was like a gentle parish priest. He just related to me God's great love, that he died on the cross for me, that, again, he bore my sin. And he gave me good counsel in that the seven last words that Jesus spoke from the cross are the antidote for the seven deadly sins.
Mm.
You know, one of the examples is for the sin of anger. Those words, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Just to meditate and ponder on that. And remember that God has forgiven you of a great sin, multiple sins, and yet you love to look at the sins of your neighbor. You want to pay attention to his sin, but you need to look into your own and know that Jesus on the cross forgave, again, those who were executing him. So a great little meditation there on the sin of anger. He continues with the sin of lust, with the beautiful words, "Woman, behold your son. Son, behold your mother. Again, who better go to than our Blessed Virgin Mary to help you, again, to practice the virtue of purity. And, you know, it's one of these things. Mary, again, people that, you know, overcome addictions, they'll always say, you know, it was the Blessed Virgin Mary that helped me a great deal. And, you know, again, this talk that he gave about the seven deadly sins continued with, you know, the sin of laziness when he says it is finished. He got his work done. He came to earth to do the Father's will. Now, what have you done? Go get busy saving your soul. You know, and again, it continues. The sin of gluttony, the words, I thirst. Christ is thirsting for a relationship with us. And so I can tell you about the term Catholic guilt. Sometimes people will talk about a little bit. Fulton Sheen was able to stir in me a sorrow for my sin and to truly help me a great deal. So that was the beginning. The book, Peace of Soul, with Unless Souls Are Saved, Nothing Is Saved. And then the book, Victory Over Vice, to help me to amend my life. So again, after that, I was hooked and just began to read many of his books till even now. I'm trying to read them all, but it seems like you can never read all of his works, but they have served me well.
So I have my own motivation for reading and discussing today's book, Archbishop Sheen's Book of Sacraments, because right around the corner, we are getting ready. The Catholic schools and the parish religious education programs are restarting their ministry of evangelization and faith formation. And thanks to you, we have a powerful resource for our teachers. And for me, it's just motivational to launch me back into the ministry we've been doing here. So what did you have in mind when you edited and compiled this anthology, one of your more recent efforts to bring to us? Did you have a particular motivation when you turned to this work?
Yeah, I did. I felt that, you know, to be honest, someone asked me once, you know, what books do I own? And the question was proposed, and what books on the sacraments do you own? Because you're a father, you have three children, you know, the catechesis, the responsibility to teach the catechesis falls on the father's shoulders. We know that the mothers usually seem to get that, you know, job, if you want to call it that. It's not a job, it's a mission. But still, I knew that that responsibility fell on my shoulders. And, you know, I made it a point to make sure that I had some good books on the sacraments in my home. And so I thought, you know, that's a valid question to propose to people, to say, what books do you have on the sacraments so that you could teach your children or even just get a refresher course for yourself? And I realized that very few of us had a book on the sacraments. We relied on the, you know, the religious instruction of the church, the team of catechists. You know, we never took it seriously to do it ourselves at home. We were always not, you know, farming it out. I don't want to say it that way, but we were always letting other people catechize our children, but not ourselves. And so with that in mind, I thought, you know, every home needs a good book on the sacraments because we are sacramental people. I mean, it's our lifeblood. Just the seven sacraments is what feeds us. It's what helps us get to heaven. And yet, how many of us own a book on the sacraments? And so that was, again, my desire to say, okay, what can I do? And so, of course, loving the writings of Fulton Sheen, I went through his, you know, his library of works, and I realized he wrote four books on the catechism, and I'd say catechism, but the sacraments. He wrote two books on the priesthood. The priest is not his own, and those mysterious priests. But in 1962, he penned the book, These Are the Sacraments. And I thought, perfect, that's exactly what I want. And in 1965, he wrote his own catechism. It's called the Sheen Catechism, where life is worth living. And again, in 1951, he wrote a book on marriage called Three to Get Married. So I kind of knew, okay, take his 1962 book on the sacraments and couple it together with his 1951 book, Three to Get Married, and then everybody's got a perfect treasury that they can keep in their home. Again, a book on the sacraments and a book on marriage, and now you're set for life.
Yes, and that is very true because, first of all, this book, Archbishop Sheen's Book of Sacraments, is a little more than 400 pages long, and I see the way you combine these two works. So we have all seven sacraments, and then following that, a beautiful exposition on marriage and family life. And that's kind of like how I see my ministry as director of religious education. This is a large parish, so we have lots of families and students, and we ran a nice Catholic kids camp this summer. Despite the COVID, it went very, very well. And I wanted it to be a Catholic camp, and it was. But we had the parents come into the church. We started in the church, and our pastor did a little invitation in the morning based on the theme of that day. And then we ended always outside under the tent with adoration. And it was a short period of adoration. Again, the parents were welcomed back. And it was so beautiful to have that short period of adoration. And the real joy came when the students really understood Jesus. So Father would have the altar server ring the bell as they were coming from the church to the area where we had the tent out back. And the children would just be talking among themselves. They'd hear the bell ringing. They'd go, oh, Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. And so they knew that this was Jesus. And then Father would give them like a directed meditation during that time of adoration to help them to focus. And then when the deacon and Father and the altar server were making their way back to the church, the little ones especially would be waving and saying, goodbye, Jesus, goodbye. And you knew, they knew. It was so experiential. The family saw them, and you saw that connection, that organic connection, where the parents and the children together were being drawn relationally to Jesus, and the parents saw the joy in their children. It's one of the best things that we've done, and a new launch that we had for this summer. So I was immediately drawn then to the opportunity to interview you about this book that Archbishop Sheen put together.
Yes, Sister, you mentioned the joy of the children and the families. And you can see that that comes from the sacraments.
Yes.
The Eucharist was celebrated. The innocence of children. Of course, the innocence that happens when someone is baptized and, you know, all their sin is washed away. So again, this is the joy that comes from the sacraments. And I think we've sometimes lost our joy. We sometimes are just going through the motions, but we need to get back to that Jesus is present in every one of these sacraments. So let's celebrate Jesus together.
And in the same way that the children responded to the adoration and the presence of the Eucharist, and they knew it was about relationship, Jesus is coming. Goodbye, Jesus. You know, it was not just a routine. It was not just jumping through ritual hoops. They knew they were in the presence of the person. And so I knew that we had communicated something well when they recognized that a person had come to be with them and who that person was. So I notice in Fulton Sheen's book, his Book of Sacraments, that he spends a lot of time at the beginning talking about what sacraments are and then focusing on this first sacrament, baptism in particular. And baptism, of course, is the door to all the other sacraments. It is the way in which we first bring ourselves back into relationship with God. So if you could talk a little bit about Archbishop Sheen's explanation about what sacraments are, the encounter that we have, this invitation in this sacrament to come back into relationship with the Trinity through the person of Jesus.
Yes. You know, I think what Fulton Sheen does so well is that he describes how we've lost a friendship and that Jesus came into this world to, again, restore that friendship. And he wants to provide us with all the help that he can. And the sacraments are, again, those opportunities for grace. There's those opportunities for us to repair a broken friendship. And again, it begins with baptism. We know that the sacraments, you know, again, they all involve Christ. And every sacrament is an act and a gesture of Christ himself, and therefore they are to be found not only in his words, but also in the seven great moments of his life. And we think of the scriptures that talk about Jesus' baptism. And of course, there's the passages about Nicodemus and asking about, you know, how do I get right with God? And he says, you need to be baptized of water and the Spirit. And, you know, he used strong language. Our Lord used strong language. But in this chapter about baptism, you know, Fultoshin begins with showing the importance that the child receives all seven virtues when they're baptized. I think sometimes we forget that, you know, of course, the virtues of faith, hope, and love, which are attached to God, and then the cardinal virtues that we all need to practice, right? It's one of these things. But I think what he explains is how in the early church, remember the baptistry was outside of the church. And he brings to our attention that, you know, you're separated. You have original sin. It's almost like you can't set foot in the door of this church until we deal with this issue. We want to restore this child back to what God intended. And to see that now, it's like the doors of the church are wide open. But many years ago, again, there was that you shall not pass unless you go through the baptistry and, of course, be baptized. So kind of neat to see the history lesson there. But again, we have to consider ourselves blessed that it's easier to receive, you know, the sacrament of baptism today than it was many years ago. But still, again, Fulton Sheen just goes through the whole sacrament in this chapter where now people will ask me, oh, he wrote this in 1962 and I read the book and I loved all the chapters on the seven sacraments, but I noticed they were a little bit different than what I saw Father do this weekend when I went to a baptism. But I think what Fulton Sheen does as he explains the role of sponsors, prayers of exorcism, you know, using blessed salt on the child's tongue and anointing the senses, you know, I think it's one of these things that you see the value in that beauty of that rite. And again, I think what it did for me is, though, even though I might have been a little confused thinking, oh, I haven't seen that in a couple years, yet still you see what the church intended. The church wants what's best for the candidate and wants to give them every grace and blessing and opportunity. And that baptism isn't just for the child. The sponsor benefits, the people that are watching benefit. It's a community because we all are part of the body of Christ. And so, again, when I read this chapter for the first time, I had joy in my heart because I thought, I took my baptism for granted. And yet, look what this sacrament has. And
I had the same experience. It's true. There's so much that we take for granted. And of course, we're infants, most of us, when we are baptized. So we don't even appreciate the totality of mystery or gift giving. The other point that Archbishop Fulton Sheen makes about the sacraments in general, and this sacrament in particular, is the importance of the human body. It's not just about the soul, although it certainly is about the soul, but it's the composite, the body and the soul. And so you see that the attention to the body and the participation of the body in all of the sacraments. And Jesus himself came, and Fulton Sheen makes this clear, in our body. So he knows the human body. And so all of his desire to come to us is to bring his divinity to our humanity, and he lives it in his incarnate being among us. I thought that was like a beautiful realization that the body is embraced by God, was created by God, is embraced by God. Later on, when he talks about the sacraments of healing, he talks about that interplay between, for example, the sickness in the body and how it might impact the spiritual state of the soul as someone is seriously ill or dying. And here in this newborn baby, bringing spiritual life to this small little body of the infant to grow together, the body and the soul. I thought that was beautiful.
Yeah, I remember reading a study once, and it was drafted by a number of pediatricians, and they actually documented a behavioral change in infants, after baptism.
Oh, wow.
And it kind of made sense, because I thought, just think about this. You could say the demons are gone. the original sin is gone, and the child has been had his, wiring put in the right place, in the right, I'm trying to use the right analogy here, but it's just to have this child be in the state of grace. And that's what we want. We want everyone to be in the state of grace. And, this connection of body and soul is so important, because I think we start to realize, yes, baptism is the beginning of this spiritual battle. That there is going to be a fight that is going to take place now to the day we die. And yet we have to take care of the soul that's in the temple, that's inside the body. And so we need to nourish that soul. And that's what, when we start looking at the other sacraments of the Eucharist and penance, you mentioned about the anointing of the sick, but the two are connected. So the body and the soul, and that we have to do everything we can to improve the condition of both, the condition
of
the soul.
Even ultimately, the body is going to be glorified. Mm-hmm. So the body is going to grow beyond its natural boundaries in the glorification, the beatification that is in heaven. And so it's when Archbishop Sheen mentions these things, you begin to see the whole scope of God's embrace of our humanity and his desire to share his divinity, to ultimately glorify us beyond our human limitations. It really is his writing goes so deep that it ends up just being an extended meditation. It's not just teaching. It's a teaching for the soul, because it really does go deep. This is the kind of book that you don't want to rush through, but you want to kind of chew on and meditate on. At least that's how I found it to be.
Yeah, I know I gave people a warning in the introduction that,
yes, you did.
That this book may be a little difficult to read it sometimes, because you have to keep putting it down, because there's so many beautiful meditations. And sometimes even those just those little one-liners can stop you in your track and, of course, make you ponder for hours and hours, it seems. So,
don't you find that Archbishop Sheen has a talent for these brief statements that are so packed with meaning? You use the example, unless souls are saved, nothing is saved. That's a perfect example of the powerful way he can use deep insights in succinct ways. And what a powerful way to teach those little lines that say so much, and you can go back to and plumb the depths.
Right. And sometimes he's a little bit more forceful, I think, in that his, I remember there's one paragraph I'd love to share in the chapter on baptism, and it's that always that question of, well, maybe I'll just let my child decide when they're older if they should be baptized.
Oh my gosh, I was going to go there. So I'm glad you're bringing it up. Go ahead.
Yeah, no.
That's exactly where I was going to go next.
Right. And so I always say this is on page 34. It's, and of course, it's in the section when he talks about sponsors. But Fulton Sheen writes, he says, "It may be asked, why should a child be baptized when he has nothing to say about it? Well, why should a child be fed? Is he asked his advice before he is given the family name? If he receives the name of the family, the fortune of the family, the rank of the family, the inheritance of the family, why should he not also receive the religion of the family? In our own country, we do not wait until children are 21 and then allow them to decide whether or not they want to become an American citizen or whether they want to speak the English language. They are born Americans. So we in baptism are born members of the mystical body of Christ. If one waits until he is 21 before learning something about his relation to the Lord who redeemed him, he will have already learned another catechism, the catechism of his passions, his concupiscences, and his lust." Again, there's Fulton Sheen being very direct.
Oh, but I love that you read that paragraph. And that's exactly what I was going to point out. Archbishop Sheen knew the modern trend and how it was affecting our way of thinking and what we choose to do or to let go of. And so that's a perfect example of the way in which he spoke to the modern tendency to question, and especially in an American context where freedom is too much, you know, it's exaggerated, and how, and it resonates with all our sensibilities. We don't allow an infant to make choices about anything else. What would you like for supper? Of course not. You know, we take out the bottle of baby food, and that's whether or not the kid likes carrots. That's what is being served tonight. So in other ways, we're a little bit more sensible. And then we've moved into this mindset of we have rights to our freedom and nothing should be imposed. But the good is what should be given. And the good is what God always gives without asking us. Why would we, any of us, ask whether I can give you my love and all that is good? It's what we live for, love and goodness. And so the other thing that I picked up in this section on baptism, and I know we need to move on soon because we don't have that much time, but in baptism, that we are reinstated as children of God. And the significance of praying then the Our Father. The Our Father is part of so many of the church's prayers. But it's a great reminder that we, who we are now, from this time forward, children of God. So we can always then, with Jesus, through him, with him, and in him, pray this prayer, Our Father. And I love the fact, and I hadn't noticed until I read this book, we don't say, my Father. When we pray this prayer, we say, Our Father. So Jesus, from the beginning, united to our humanity, says, Our Father. And I had never really reflected on the fact that it wasn't for him alone. He truly was always conscious of his union with us at the same time that he was conscious of his union with God. And so when he prayed in solidarity with our humanity.
Right. And I think of, to add just another little spiritual commentary, when our Lord received baptism, and of course he went to John, and, you know, when he came up from the water, God the Father said, this is my beloved Son. And when we came out of the waters of baptism, God the Father says the same thing to us.
Yes, yes.
This is my beloved child. You know, and of course you're newly baptized, in whom I'm well pleased, you know, because you're of course
in that moment, of course, yes.
Yeah, yeah. But the love of the Father for his Son, saying, this is my beloved Son. And he says the same thing to us as his children. This is my beloved child. So again, to see that connection with baptism at that moment. So again, Fulton Sheen brings to our awareness just the power of God. Of course, the power and the efficacy of the sacrament. So again, I my heart is just singing with joy as I read each chapter of each sacrament, because wow, every one of them is just a treasure.
And Ellen, it might be a nice time to mention a book that's following this one, another anthology about the great commandment of love. So I look forward to perhaps having another conversation when we get to discuss that. Ellen Smith is our guest and teacher today. He's drawing from Archbishop Fulton Sheen's book, Archbishop Sheen's Book of Sacraments. Both Al Smith and Archbishop Fulton Sheen are eager to help us to encounter Jesus and the power of his life and love that comes to us in the seven sacraments. It's today's lesson on Pathways of Learning, the Catholic Channel, Sirius XM 129. We're headed back to school. Religious education catechists, Catholic school teachers, homeschooling parents, and anyone else interested in understanding the Catholic sacramental encounter with Jesus Christ. We will all find answers for the heart, the mind, and the soul in Archbishop Sheen's Book of Sacraments. Alan Smith, editor and compiler of this new anthology, is helping us learn deep life lessons today. So, Al, besides your efforts to promote the cause of canonization of Archbishop Fulton Sheen, Father John Hardin, a Jesuit priest and friend of Archbishop Sheen, was also a strong advocate. Would you like to comment on his support of Archbishop Sheen?
Yes. In my opening comments, I talked about having a good book in your home or good books on the sacraments. And of course, Fulton Sheen wrote a great book on the sacraments, but Father Hardin, also a great catechist at heart, wrote a great deal on the catechism and produced his own catechism and trained a number of catechists. There are many people that still take his course. And
I'm happy to say he was one of my professors in graduate school.
Yes, and I did meet him personally, and so I've been touched by the man and love his writings. And I just knew somehow that Father Hardin would champion Sheen's cause. And, you know, I think when I started to read Father Hardin's writings on the sacraments, they were very similar to Fulton Sheen's. I found that Father Hardin was quicker at getting around to the lesson, and that he taught, I think, with less words, but still very good. And so I thought it was very appropriate to have him introduce the book with his little essay on the sacraments. And, you know, he talks about, again, the friendship of Jesus and trying to, of course, repair a broken relationship with God, and, of course, Jesus providing these channels of grace that we need in this journey. But again, Father Hardin was a man who cared about souls, had that same desire. Unless souls are saved, nothing is safe. So again, you'll find just in the 5 or 6 pages that he puts to pen, he gets it right. And he sets the stage. He sets the stage. And he warns us that the sacraments have been undermined. There's people that want to water down the sacraments, that want to challenge the sacraments. And of course, we knew that the history, that the sacraments weren't challenged for many, many years. But yet, you know, there's the Reformation and all kinds of things. And there's many people within the church that have their own strong opinions of what they think the sacraments should be. So it was kind of a, you know, a warning shot off the bow. Father Hardin was asking us to be alert and to know that the devil wants to undermine the sacrament. So again, he was the perfect person, I think, to choose to introduce the book. And I think people will really enjoy his commentary. And again, we included an essay about Fulton Sheen that he penned at the end of the book to kind of cap things off.
So let's consider Archbishop Fulton Sheen's teaching about the sacrament of confirmation. So I saw that the cover of this book that you edited and compiled, Archbishop Sheen's Book of Sacraments, features this moment when Jesus is being baptized and you have the descent of the Holy Spirit. So what are the mysteries that Jesus witnesses in this moment as he is baptized and the Holy Spirit descends upon him?
Yeah, I think what Fulton Sheen does so beautifully in this chapter is that he mentions to us that we have to be more attentive to the Holy Spirit and recognize that, you know, our Lord in the womb of the Blessed Virgin Mary was under the influence of the Holy Spirit. You just think about that for a few moments. Of course, that moment when our Lord was baptized in the descent of the Holy Spirit. We think of the apostles, of course, in the upper room and the Holy Spirit coming, and how it is that gift that Christ has left with us to animate us in a very beautiful way. You know, confirmation has been coined as the sacrament of combat and also the sacrament of martyrdom. But it's the spirit that encourages the soul to fight. And but again, going back to the womb of the Blessed Virgin Mary and how the Holy Spirit overcame her, overshadowed her. And of course, we see the Holy Spirit descending upon our Lord. So we're here to take notice. Again, confirmation is one of those forgotten sacraments. I'm not saying it's a one and done. I don't want to use that term too loosely. But because we only get confirmed once and we only get baptized once, sometimes we forget about again, the power of that sacrament. You know, yes, we think about the Eucharist and the power of the Eucharist often, because for some of us, we receive weekly and some even daily. But confirmation is one of those sacraments that sometimes we forget very quickly. Yet we were given the Holy Spirit and this spirit of combat. So Fulton Sheen, I think, really stresses that in this chapter, talking about how confirmation is both personal and social.
Yes.
But we're to go out into the mission field and to bring souls to Christ. So again, lots there. And I know that, as you said earlier, Sister, it's hard to explain all of these seven sacraments in the short time that
we have. That's right. It is a short time. But I know Fulton Sheen points out that after Jesus was baptized, he begins his ministry, his public ministry, and of healing, of teaching and preaching. And so here we see that you already mentioned both the personal and the social aspects of having been filled with the Holy Spirit, these spiritual gifts. And I like to point out to my students that these spiritual gifts, wisdom, understanding, counsel, fortitude, knowledge, piety, fear of the Lord, these are spiritual gifts for relationship, relationship to God, relationship to others, and also with ourselves and in service to others. So that in this particular sacrament, we're really being called to be other Christs, to be as active in living out our relationship with God and with others as Jesus was. And that's a tall order, to try to stretch ourselves to the stature of Jesus. But I thought Bishop Fulton Sheen makes such a great point about what we're called to, how far we need to stretch ourselves and challenge ourselves. But really, my question for myself and for us as we discuss his work is, given the fact that he writes, this is a shorter quote, baptism is principally the battle against invisible enemies, and confirmation is the battle against social enemies, such as persecutors of the church, or I might also add within the church. So I think it's a relevant point for our time. So we who are living in these times, how many of us who have been given the spiritual gifts, poured out on us the spiritual gifts of the Holy Spirit, are using our Catholic leadership to impact our times and the enemies of the church? And I think there's a great challenge here in this section of Archbishop Fulton Sheen's book to question ourselves. How am I using this outpouring of the Holy Spirit to exercise my influence, my leadership against the enemies of our faith, of the church, of God himself? This is such a godless age.
Yes, it is. You know, it's Sheen calls the sacrament of confirmation the sacrament of the lay apostolate. Mm-hmm. And as you mentioned, when our Lord received the Holy Spirit, he began his mission. And yet, you know, I think we all hear the words of the bishop encouraging us to go out and be zealous for the faith, but give us a week's time and we forget that we have a mission. And it's just nice to be reminded that, yes, you are on a mission, and that mission began many years ago, and you need to continue the mission to the day you die. And so pick up your arms and fight, you know, put on the armor of God. And of course, all of these things. But again, Fulton Sheen, it gently reminds us of our mission, but again says, remember, you have a sacrament that will empower you, will give you the graces that you need to do this. And
but he also includes the challenge that, even to the point of death, you know, martyrdom is also, like he points out in the more traditional rite, the bishop would always lightly hit the face. And I went, at the time when I received the sacrament, it was still being done in that rite before Vatican II. And we were challenged to, we had to be ready to forfeit our life if necessary, as soldiers of Christ, as those who had taken up the cause of Christ ourselves. In the same way that Jesus forfeited his life for our sake, we needed to return that love and be able to. And on the front of the classroom, in big, bold letters, "Be willing to die for Christ" was written. And so this really came home to me as I was schooled for reception of the sacrament of confirmation. But even to this day, as a consecrated religious, I sometimes ask myself, do I have sufficient courage to die if need be? And, you know, I look at the chaos of our times, what's happening now in the Middle East, and I ask myself, the courage may be necessary in our own lifetime. You know, we're so used to living in a first world country where things are fairly free from violence. But I think we could in any moment, given our times and the tensions of our times, have to meet this challenge of laying down our lives.
Mm-hmm. And I think this is why this book is so timely.
Yes.
It's so timely. It's always, you think of, why did the Lord orchestrate this production of this book at this time and re-release these writings that were, 60 years ago? Yet, saints, I just find that their writings are timely every year, every for all of history. And so, but again, the hand of God, of course, the Holy Spirit, inspiring people to come together to put together this collection. And of course, we re-release it so we can be ready for battle. So thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
So let's also just mention your efforts to promote the canonization of Archbishop Fulton Sheen.
Right.
Will we see this in our lifetime? How close are we?
Yeah, we will. I try to remind people that who followed the cause and saw what I call a bit of a roller coaster ride. And, I was I came on the board of directors in the year 2013 and, of course, had the joy of seeing Pope Benedict declare Fulton Sheen venerable.
That's right.
And then we saw the approval of the miracle of the little boy that was dead for 61 minutes and came back to life. And the panel of Vatican doctors looked through the documentation and, of course, recommended that the Holy Father approve the miracle, and he did. And so, of course, he then set a date for the beatification, and we all know that date was set, but there was a petition made to just look at a few more things. They just wanted to be 100% sure, and again, that happened, so the beatification was postponed. I always say to people, it wasn't canceled. It was postponed. And I know that the Diocese of Peoria is in constant communication with the Vatican, always asking for the new date. And that new date will come because, again, I think it just takes a little bit of time to vet some of these concerns. And they've done all of that again. So I think we're just awaiting a date. So I always say good news is coming, but the church moves slow. So
slow, but sure, I always say.
But it will be in our lifetime, God willing, and I have a very good feeling about it. And not that I have the inside track, but I tend to sense to
know. Well, I just have a sense like the timeliness of it, if it were soon, that would certainly serve. But God knows best, and so we'll leave it in his hands.
Yes.
Alan Smith is highlighting Archbishop Sheen's Book of Sacraments. Archbishop Fulton Sheen exploited every form of media in the 1900s to effectively evangelize and catechize in the modern world. Alan Smith is walking in his footsteps as he is doing the same work with the same energy as Fulton Sheen. We're learning to know, understand, and live the Catholic faith on Pathways of Learning, the Catholic Channel, Sirius XM 129. Back to school and back to learning. Catholic families, parish catechists, Catholic school teachers, and anyone who wants to better understand the Catholic sacramental life has a great resource in this anthology edited and compiled by Alan Smith. Archbishop Sheen's Book of Sacraments, a Fulton Sheen anthology. It is the basis of today's conversation and learning on Pathways of Learning. So, Alan, let's talk about the sacrament of the Eucharist. Archbishop Fulton Sheen writes, "If husband and wife seek to be one in the flesh, shall not the Christian and Christ crave for that oneness with one another? The sacrament of the Eucharist is often what draws converts to Catholicism, isn't it? So many of our saints have been drawn and attracted because of the mystery of the Eucharist. So talk about this attraction to this mystery of divine oneness, divine communion.
Fulton Sheen gives many stories, not just in this book, but in many of his writings about experiences of people that just come and visit the church. There is a chapter in this teaching on the Eucharist, on the tabernacle, and that we as Catholics believe that Jesus is present in the tabernacle, body, blood, soul, and divinity. And how so many people have stumbled into the doors of a church and have sat down for a few moments. And when asked, they say, "Something is here." And we respond, "Someone is here."
Yes, yes.
And he even sometimes would challenge people to say, it's almost like he dares you, double dares you to go sit in a church and just sit there for an hour. And then he would be convinced that if not after that hour, you didn't believe that there was a God, you know, he'd give you your money back. But, you know, but, you know, I'm just saying, and I think people find this to be true. They say this all the time. When I enter a Catholic church and I sit in the presence of the Lord, a peace overcomes, you know, comes over me. And yet, you know, we know of Fulton Sheen's love for the holy hour and how he promoted Eucharistic adoration. And, you know, our Lord is faithful to his promise when he said, "I will not leave you orphan. He will be with us to the end of time." And he's there in the Eucharist. And so, you know, it is a beautiful opportunity for us to adore, but also to be fed. And as you mentioned earlier, parents want to feed their children. And of course, we're children of God, and God wants to feed us. And so he gives us the Eucharist. And again, other faiths, other denominations don't have that opportunity to be fed like we do. And so, as you said, this is the draw for many people to convert to Catholicism because of the Eucharist. But again, you just have to experience it, to believe it, and then you want to live it. And so, and this is why so many people try to receive our Lord every day, if they can, because they want to be fed. And, you know, Fulton Sheen would talk about this friendship, and we're talking about how the sacraments help improve the friendship. How do you develop a friendship? It's through time. It's spending time with that friend. And so we have opportunity after opportunity to go spend some time with hopefully our best friend, who is Jesus Christ.
Yes, and he actually goes even further and uses the analogy of the marriage of Christ to the human soul. I like to tell the little ones when they're making their first Holy Communion, dressed in white and then the suits of the boys, you know, Jesus wants to be our best lover. And he comes to us when we're dressed like brides and grooms because he wants to love us better than anyone else. And it's an image I want them to have in their hearts when they're young, so they grow understanding that there is no love like the great lover's love. And that even in marriage, the man and the woman are witnessing to one another the love of Christ for the church and attempting to live that out in the way they love each other and bring each other to heaven. But there's no Holy Communion without holy orders, right? So talk about the connection and the necessity of these two sacraments.
Right. Well, I mean, the holy orders, I think, of course, our Lord wanted the mission to continue. And so he knew that he needed those ministers to, you know, initiate the sacraments, to give the sacraments. And of course, we know on Holy Thursday, our Blessed Lord instituted the sacrament of holy orders. Those 12 apostles became his priest. And so we think of that great grace that happened in those men's lives. And of course, the Eucharist was instituted on Holy Thursday. And then, of course, again, the powers to forgive were given to the apostles. And so, again, it just helps, gives us that opportunity to continue the work, to continue the work. And this is why the Lord calls many men to come and to become, to lay down their life, to become fathers to many. And yet we sometimes don't always think of the priesthood being united to Christ. Fulton Sheen, in his book, The Priest Is Not His Own, he would say to those who read it, he says, you know, many people don't ponder when you enter the seminary that you think you're studying to become a priest, but are you really preparing yourself to be both priest and victim? To become yes. a victim. And I know he catches a lot of people off guard there saying, what? I become priest and victim? But that's what Christ was, both priest and victim. But again, the Holy Orders is, again, a sacrament that not everyone receives, of course. Many are called, few are chosen, that slogan sometimes, but chosen by God to do a very holy work. And so let us continue to pray that God will send laborers into the harvest. And of
course, absolutely, how much we need those generous souls. But anyone who loves, whether it's in friendship, in marriage, in consecrated life, priesthood, sacrifice is required of all of us. We lay down our lives for each other as Christ laid down his life. And so it was St. Mother Teresa of Calcutta who said, sacrifice is the language of love. We show our love by how much we're willing to give up and to give for the good of another, not to hold back for ourselves. We have not done justice to this powerful book, but we have touched on each of the sacraments a bit, enough hopefully to wet the heart and souls of our listeners and to urge them to consider pursuing the book. Alan Smith, thank you for keeping the impactful teachings of Archbishop Sheen before us. Thank you for walking in his footsteps by being a voice of similar stature and making good use of the media. You're capitalizing on the new electronic advancements that Archbishop Sheen did not have access to. And I'm sure Archbishop Sheen is proud of you. Thanks for joining us today, and pray for me that I get 11 more catechists, because I'll need them before we start, for the many catechists, for the many students who are coming, and the parents who are sending their children, so we can help reinforce what the parents do in their home. May we all find ourselves in the sacramental embrace of Jesus, because he is our way to heaven and he loves us best. Thank you so much for being with us.